I acknowledge my source of life every single morning without fail. And I attribute the joy that I wake up with in the morning, no matter what just happened the night before, what's happening in that week, to that source. I follow through with that first thing with a walk outside in the fresh air. That's pretty much my next step. It's waking up, acknowledging my creator. There's joy there because I realize that outside of myself, everything flows through that. And then I go outside immediately, breathing in the fresh air, taking in the morning light. And that has been my compass.
Mama! Let's reimagine mom life together. Mama House Goals is your hub for relatable support and helpful resources that help you fuel yourself alongside motherhood. Your identity is bigger than mom. And whatever your goals are, together, we're making them a reality.
I think if I could stand behind any message or any identity for our community, it would be allowing yourself to reimagine what your life can be. And that means pushing the mold, allowing yourself to be multifaceted, creating whatever feels good to you, removing whatever does not feel good. And our guest today is a busy mom of 4 kids, 3 boys, and 1 little girl, ranging in age from teens to tots. And she lives on an 8-acre farm in the Sunshine Coast of Canada with her family. She goes through her background of leaving her successful corporate career to focus on her marketing collective, Storywell Marketing, back in 2016. She is now a team of female experts focused on redefining brand strategy, building sustainable lead generation, revenue goals, and designing unique visual identities for small businesses across Canada and the US. She also goes through how they've created this really fun lifestyle for themselves: homeschooling, sustainable living, game nights with friends, all while navigating the chaos and beauty of the day-to-day. What strategies she implements on a day-to-day basis to be able to keep up with it all. What does it mean to identify for yourself, and how we really need to find our own inner voice? We just unpack so much truth to life and motherhood, and I know that you are going to absolutely love this conversation with Jessica Morella Hughes, and I cannot wait for you to tap in. Jessica, so excited to have you here and tapping into all the things is real mom life. So my first question for you is navigating the dynamics of farm life, homeschooling, 4 kids, just being a human yourself, and running a business. I want to know, is every day structured the same? Are you like a routine person, or is it navigating the beautiful chaos a little bit different every day?
That's a great question. And thanks so much for having me on. I'm just really excited to be here. I would have to say, as a mom, maintaining my sanity has to start with structure every single day. I try to navigate the chaos by being a little loosey-goosey and spontaneous, and I have been that way much of my life. But when the 4th baby rolled along, I found that it was finally time to kick things into gear and have some type of morning routine. That's pretty much what sets the tone of the day. For myself, it is a 5 a.m. morning every single day. That's when I do my morning meditation, I exercise, I prepare lunches, I get everything ready and started for the day. And honestly, it really does roll like clockwork. It has to start 5, and there are sort of like time increments that I hit along the way. And then at about 8, that's when everybody gets up and we have family worship, we have breakfast, we roll into school, and then I have everything scheduled in on my work side and farm side and et cetera. So there's a lot of routine. There's a lot of regularity. And I would have to say I have tried the alternatives and they just don't work.
Yeah. What would you say when you got started, thinking back to you just had baby number 4 and you're like, hey, we need to have some structure. Was there something that made the biggest difference or somewhere that you would recommend someone starting? Because a lot of times people say, oh, give yourself time in the morning. And everyone's different. But like, what are the things you actually need to do once you give yourself that time? What are the things that make the biggest difference?
I think what made the biggest difference was not expecting perfection. That was a big thing for me because I'm an all or nothing girl. I'm pretty black and white. I'm type A. So I'm always like, let's do this. And one of the biggest issues was, I forget women and children behind me, like the old, the young, oh, you're like Pisces, but keep up. And that kind of mentality causes a lot of friction. What I actually had to do is really slow down in adapting to that schedule. I really had to think of it as 1% increments per day until I reached the point where I could actually fully implement and things just started to kind of flow. So it was just like having that grace initially was really helpful and realizing it's not an all or nothing because each child has a different personality. My husband, a grown adult, had to adapt to that. It's really hard for us as adults, even children, to form new habits. And so really allowing for that to take place over a period of time, it's not an instantaneous process. So grace was a huge part of it. Process over perfection was another part of it. And really like incremental, just 1% improvement every single day. And a lot of just really open conversations about why are we doing this? Like baby number 4 was a girl. I have 3 boys already. So again, we're dealing with there's different needs now, right? Mm-hmm. She's going to have different needs, different kind of personality, different way of doing things. And of course, I was working full time. I was actually the primary breadwinner in the home as well. And I'm also caretaker and all kinds of other things. And so I had to retrain the household. There's a lot of question. Hey, how do you feel about this? Is this working? Should we adapt this? What would make this fun as part of implementing it into our new daily routine and our process? I will tell you though, having some older children, my oldest is 17 now and a 14-year-old, a lot of friction. Again, like I said, the older you are, the harder it is to implement new routines. And so there had to be a lot of give and take, a lot of reward systems as part of that. I know we frown on technology, but there was a lot of, yes, you can play that video game. I can see as part of that.
Yeah. Now, when you started implementing this new lifestyle for yourself, how old were your kids that are now 17 and your teenagers? And when your fourth came along, and where did you look to learn how to do this? So you say, hey, there were a lot of questions. There were a lot of conversations. There was a lot of give and take and reward systems. Did you make this all up or were you able to look somewhere for support and resources to be able to figure out how to make it your own?
That's a really great question. So when I started implementing, my 17-year-old would have been 13-ish. My 14-year-old would have been about 10. My 8-year-old now would have been about 4. So all boys. Part of my experience in parenting, a lot of it has been from the Bible. A lot of what I've implemented is actually from a book called Child Guidance. It's written by Ellen White. It's a pretty incredible book. It pretty much touches on every topic known to man on parenting and raising a family. So a lot of what I was pulling from was from one biblical perspective, as well as this book called Child Guidance. I have one actually close by, but it says how to talk to your kid to get them to buy in. Mm-hmm. And it is old. It's like from the 60s. And so that was another book that I kept around. And so I just pulled from all these sort of areas and decided to create my own plan because part of being a parent is learning to read your family, right? Learning to read personality and character traits, and you observe your children over a period of time. And so based on that observation, I could start to make decisions with each child. I know some children in the home like to wake up later. So there's some parts of the routine that are adaptive. Other children actually wake up close to when I wake up. So I have to find ways of plugging them in so they're not disrupting my own schedule. So a lot of it is just wisdom, testing over and over again until you find your rhythms and your patterns in the home. And eventually, like I said, that 1% starts to add up until it gets to 100 and you're like, wow, we found our flow. Amazing. But it's a lot of trial and error. A lot of it was, oh, this is suggested advice, but I know this child has an issue with that habit. So with him, I'm not going to rush into it. Whereas I can with the others, I can adapt with them much faster. And again, those patterns just eventually fell into place and we are now all operating on the same page.
Yeah. Now, you have a couple specific dynamics with your life. You live in a place that you have to take a ferry to get to your house. You can't just like drive to the city. I want to talk a little bit about that. But What came first? Has this all been your life forever? Sometimes we see that people start homeschooling after they become entrepreneurs because it fits their schedule better. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they become entrepreneurs because they want to homeschool and be there. And you also have this rural living that is an added dynamic to, one, being able to get to work, so you might as well work for yourself, and mm-hmm. two, being able to get to school. So did it all come together, or how did it all unfold?
That is a very loaded question. I'm trying to make this answer as succinct as I can. I was born and raised in South Africa. And so the first 7 years of my life, I lived in a jungle. No joke. King cobras, came face to face with them very often, sometimes in my bathroom. Monkeys, all that kind of stuff, baboons in the backyard. And so I was used to already living a very farm/jungle lifestyle from the time I was a child. Growing our own food, making our own bread. My mom made all my own clothes till I was 8. I was really used to doing things quite homestead style, but like to an extreme. Like yeah. The closest town was probably about 100 miles away. And it was just my mom and I and my brother for like weeks on end while dad worked in town. Fast forward, my mom is from Belgium. She had immigrated to South Africa to do tropical medicine, decided when things were falling apart in South Africa in the 90s that we would immigrate to Belgium. And so first stop, totally new country, metropolitan, having to learn 2 new languages because Belgium is Flemish and French and Italian because my mom is of an Italian background. So there's a little bit of adaptation there. Different cultures. And then from there, we decided to move to Canada, and we've always been on the West Coast. And so I grew up in suburbia then. Half my life has been in Canada. And again, just suburban household, going to work, making money. Mom had to go back to work. She couldn't raise us at home anymore. And so I went from this dynamic of always having mom there, her making everything, doing everything, us participating in that and having homeschool as our mainstay, to mom working 3 jobs, dad running his own business, and like my brother and I are kind of left to do whatever, and transitioning then from there into like an actual public school environment. And that was really hard. About 8 years ago, I had met my husband in suburbia. My aunt and uncle, who had sponsored us as immigrants into Canada, were living on the Sunshine Coast, which is a little slice of land off of Vancouver, BC that can only be accessed by ferry. And they said, oh, like, you guys come from the jungle. You've always wanted land. You've talked about it for the last 20 years as being in Canada. This place is beautiful. It's just like West Coast, right? You are living in a tropical paradise here. And so I came over, I remember, one weekend with my mom, and there was this house that kept on popping up on the listing. I was like, Mom, that's the house. This is the property for us. It was 8.5 acres, set on a green belt, surrounded by forest. Couldn't see your neighbors. There was a pond with a beautiful willow tree in the front yard. And I was like, this is where I want us to plant our feet. And yeah, it was mom and I, my brother, we all went in on it. And within 2 months, we had decided to transplant our entire family from this suburban little community 3 hours away to, you know, basically deciding to commute, but seriously, onto this piece of land. And it was the best decision I could have ever made. I don't think we've ever been happier having moved to Canada 29 years ago this year. Yeah. And yeah, we have just like kept our face to the ground, and we have been developing, planting gardens. We've had chickens. We've had goats. We unfortunately had to euthanize our dog last week, and that's a very touchy subject. But we've really adapted to just this idea of farm community living. And then my decision to homeschool the kids was after having had them in public school. So mm-hmm. they did start in public school, but with the pandemic, it just opened up an opportunity for us as a family to go back to basics. I had grown up in the homeschool system. I had loved it. I had excelled in it. And I thought, what better way to just be closer to each other, to have a little bit more control over what they were learning and absorbing? And for some of the identities that they were forming in public school, I was in complete agreement with. And so, yeah, God just opened that door and we leapt at it. And my 2 older children did make a decision to go back to public school last year, but they were old enough to have adapted to a value system that we were all in the same page with. So I'm actually really not worried about them. And my 2 younger children are at home, my 8-year-old and my 4-year-old. It's fascinating to see that life is always circumvented by change. my life has just been one big medley of adventure. It's fascinating to see how we got here, where yeah. we started, and now where we are.
All part of building your story and letting it unfold. And that's what life's about, right?
Yes.
It's about living in the story, living in the journey, because that's our job. Our job is to live our story and live our journey. And I absolutely love that. Now, you help people build their stories, talking about stories and building what it means to write their story, their brand awareness, and what that looks like. How do you see yourself subconsciously living your life in this same way of crafting your best story, your best life? I can see that you've already been doing this by making all these choices and navigating what each season means to you and what you're crafting. Is it all subconscious and then you see the dots connecting backwards? Or do you wake up every day going, okay, how am I crafting my life story today alongside my business story? Is it really thought out that way, or is it just in habit?
That's a great question. I think it's almost 50-50. I think part of it is there is an element of crafting. There has to be some kind of system or process in which I say we should, but I live my life by. I think without some kind of schedule or some kind of directive on, like, we can easily get distracted. And what that does is move us away from our goals. Like, our goals was always to have property. We had moved to a place financially where we could make that happen. So yeah, goal setting, systems, structure is very important. But then there is element of, oh, the unexpected, the spontaneous, right? But that's also what makes life fun and enjoyable and exciting. I think without change, life can be pretty dull. Even when that change is painful, I think pain is a very important aspect of growth. And we don't want to be transient in life, just going slow. It's been really interesting in the sense that I've had this element of, okay, I do get up in the mornings, and funny enough, I have them right here. So I have a daily planner that I write in. And I also have a budget planner as well that I write in. And so I have, like, different planners that I keep around my desk, that I keep in different areas of the house. We have, like, a family billboard that we will write different things on. And then aside from that, we just let life take its course, because there is the unexpected. Some of it external, we have absolutely no control of. And sometimes the unexpected is self-induced. So it's a choice, and you wait to see what the outcome is going to be.
And it leaves space for that beauty and authenticity. I think that's so parallel to marketing and crafting your brand message. Mm-hmm. You have to allow real life and inspiration to occur, but you also want to have a strategy and have a plan and be able to find that balance between planning and being authentic at the same time. The core piece that underlines that is, like, being very clear with what your voice is. Being a mom of four and having these different seasons, I'm sure your identity has evolved and changed, and your voice has changed. And as you stepped back into kind of, you're not off the grid, but more rural living and making these different choices, as well as being in traditional kind of suburbia, I'm sure that that's all evolved and changed. So how do you find clarity around, like, who you are as a whole, as Jessica, and then who you are in each season and what your identity means now versus as a whole?
I think part of it is it goes back to the know thyself is very personal. And so I have really enjoyed taking some of these quizzes, whether it's the personality color quiz or some of these personality type quizzes. I've actually paid to do some of these high level psychological assessments, because I actually like to see that pattern of change over time. Who was I 10 years ago? And I'm no longer an ENFP. I am now an ENP something. Yeah. It's fascinating to see how my tastes have changed, right? In terms of personality, how much give or take in my personality. And I find that's been actually really helpful in my trajectory, right? So how I'm able to show up, how much authenticity in that, how much bias I approach life with. Sometimes I have been very self-critical as a person in my early sort of days as a mother, very self-critical. A lot of issues with compartmentalization when it came to what I had or what I didn't have. A lot of self-comparison and things like that. Fast forward 10 years, I could care less. I have no issue with my identity now when it comes to those things, right? Whereas, again, that critical spirit is constantly there. Now, I go to the pool, for instance, and like I said, I got 80 more pounds on me than I would like to be carrying. But I've actually come to a place where I'm completely comfortable with that. So I don't wear the t-shirt over my bathing suit anymore because stop it. I care less. Yes, that's kind of part of my attitude, but I'm so comfortable with myself. I have such a self-appreciation that to me, I have such value and love in my relationship with my husband that it doesn't matter if a woman or a man does look at me, and I could care less if they think I'm overweight or I'm not, or that I forgot to shave my legs this week. Like, it's little things like I have such self-love for, but I didn't have that 10 years ago. Yeah. And there's a level of maturity, right? There's this shape that takes place when our characters, there's been a lot of pain. There's been a lot of challenges, a lot of adaptation. I think part of life is just you choose how to grow. You can either grow against the pain and pull back at it and hate it. And a lot of times that leads to a lot of self-traumatization, or you can embrace it. You can hug it. You can be like, I love this pain. It was good pain. And that's what I've decided to do with my life for over 10 years. It's been a lot of embracing the challenge, embracing the pain. And like I said, a lot of these quizzes have been very helpful for me because I've been able to learn about myself, know thyself. I know who I am. And it has nothing to do with all of these identifiers out there, motherhood, entrepreneurship, daughter, et cetera. Actually just has to do with who Jessica is. And that's been really self-satisfying for me.
Wow. You just unpacked so much that I totally resonate with, and I think so many others will as well. And I agree with the quizzes. That was really where I started too, because sometimes that's the first place we can start to evaluate ourselves, and evaluate ourselves in a good way, not in the, hey, I am 80 pounds more than I want to be and I'm going to wear a t-shirt, but evaluating like who we are as a person and who we want to be and unpacking that. And I love that you talk about moving through the challenge, because we all have challenge. We all have struggle in life, and it doesn't have to look one way. And it's not about measuring whose struggle was harder, but we all have challenge and struggle, and we get to choose, like you said, do we sit in it? Do we sit on one side of it? Where do we want to be? But when we move through it, we have the opportunity to learn, evolve, and change along the way, and take that experience with us. Because no matter what, we're experiencing the challenge, right? We don't get to say, oh, you know what? I'm actually not going to have that experience happen. The fact of the matter is you're going to have challenges, and you decide, okay, now is this going to be something that I evolve and come through? Or is it just going to be a challenge that I had and I'm going to sit in the challenge? Mm-hmm. So I think that is so important. Now, some of the other things that you talked about is just like being whole with who you are, being comfortable with who you are. And I remember when I started my self-discovery journey, if you will, I had a moment that a friend invited us to go swimming at a pool. And it's funny that you bring up the bathing suit part of it, because that is a very strong thought for me, is that memory of I didn't want to be in the bathing suit. And I just didn't feel comfortable with my body at the time. I, about a year later, noticed that I was in this habit of I had said no to a couple things that would have been fun because I didn't want to represent myself the way that it was, whether it was in a bathing suit or various things like that. And I caught it and I said, okay, you are missing out on life because you're worried about choosing what other people are going to think of you, how they perceive and see you. And what I know to be true now, and I knew then too, but I wasn't even focusing on, is they're not thinking about that. And if they are, they're not people I want to keep hanging out with, for one, but two, they're probably not thinking about that. But what I noticed in my journey is as I brought in more good, as I brought in more self-discovery, as I took the quizzes, as I had the experiences, I was able to let go of that self-doubt, that hurt, that pain that you're talking about, because I had this other bucket full. And is that what you've noticed for yourself too, that they coexist, but you're filling so much into that self-exploration, that self-discovery, that evolution of who you are, that the rest is just drowned out and it's still there. It's still a part of you, but you don't feel it the same way because you have all these other new interests and desires and goals that you're moving towards. And I can see you shaking your head. Yes. So how do you keep going on the hard days? Yes. If you know that when you add more to the good, the bad doesn't feel so strong. You don't have that self-doubt. You don't have that desperate need of creating an identity or living this specific life. How do you keep pouring in even on the hard days?
Mm-hmm. I have my hard days. I do want to say life is hard. There is no doubt about it. There are some mornings I wake up and parts of my body hurt. I may have gone to bed with some anger on my heart. I may be facing an issue with a client or someone close to me in my life that maybe I couldn't settle that indifference before I went to sleep that night. Waking up in the morning is, there's a lot of willpower that is required to overcome the mindset to default. Mm-hmm. Our default is always going to be self-criticism or criticism to others. It's the anger, the shame, all the kind of, it's all criticism, right? And so one of the biggest things that I have to do in the morning, and this is pretty much my wake up routine every morning and taking things back to my belief system, I actually wake up and the first words out of my mouth are, "Good morning, Father." I acknowledge my source of life every single morning without fail. And I attribute the joy that I wake up with in the morning, no matter what just happened the night before, what's happening in that week, to that source. I follow through with that first thing with a walk outside in the fresh air. That's pretty much my next step. It's waking up, acknowledging my creator. There's joy there because I realize that outside of myself, everything flows through that. And then I go outside and I ground myself immediately breathing in the fresh air, taking in the morning light. And that has been my compass. That has basically been the end all and be all to everything. And as that fills me up to prepare me for the day, I'm able to face the trial. I'm able to face the challenge. I'm able to pretty much overcome anything that's thrown at me because my foundation is built on something outside of myself that's never going to let me down. That's never going to forsake me. It's never going to fail me. And that is what gives me confidence and ultimately absolutely everything. I don't even know how to describe it. It's life-giving. I have such self-love as a result of that, that a lot of people that meet me actually tell me that I glow. Like, I'll be walking down the street and my face is in a perpetual smile. And people will stop me and they'll actually go, "Hi." And I'll be like, "Whoa, what's going on here?" They're so drawn to that. It's something that's had to actually happen over probably about 20 years, coming out of a lot of self-hate, a lot of issues with physical appearance, self-doubt about myself as a mother and a wife, and even like an entrepreneur. I've gotten to a place now where the confidence is not out of vanity or say like a power trip or anything like that. There's such joy, an abiding joy in my life, that putting on that bathing suit, going to the gym, and like my size E cups here are flying all over the place, you know, doing all that kind of stuff, it doesn't bother me. I just have such self-assurance that the aura that my body is putting off is radiating. And people are seeing that and going, "I want that. How come you have that? How do I get that peace? How do I get that joy?" And I think that's helped me to shift in those morning routines where I don't wake up upset ever. That the anger that might have been there in the morning is like completely gone. And I'm able to push through those obstacles and those challenges with such ease because I have such confidence, such peace, such joy.
And at the core, those two steps are so simple, right? Whether you're waking up and being grateful for what you believe in your faith, or you're just waking up grateful for another day of life, you can choose what fits into your narrative.
Yes.
But saying, "I'm grateful for another day, another opportunity," and then getting outside, we all have that capability and that ability. Everyone has a window in their house. I don't know anyone that doesn't. So you have a window in your house that you can go walk to and get that fresh air and get that light into your eyes and say that you are grateful for another day. And I love that it truly is so simple. We overcomplicate how to start a good day. It really can just be waking up and saying, "I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here, to have a good day. I'm going to go see the sun outside." And 100%. You can add whatever narrative feels good to you. But that at the core, I love that. Now, when it comes to navigating the knowing, this is the knowing of the "I'm worthy of a good life," right? The knowing that I'm worthy of happiness, starting my day off correctly, and really creating the life that I want to live. And there's this actual logistics of, can I do all these things? And we hear this so much in this ambitious mom community. Can I do all the things? Is it really possible for me to homeschool, have a business, go after my career, and be happy and have a good marriage and have good friends? Mm-hmm. And you and I both know this to be true. Yes, you define your success and you create it, but how do you do it? And there's the actual logistics, like these things of waking up and starting the day off right, maybe having a little bit of organization in your home. Mm-hmm. But what would you tell a mom that's sitting there saying, it's just not in it for me. It's just not in my deck of cards. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't do all those things. Mm-hmm. How do you pour some belief back into the woman?
First thing I would probably say to her is, you're overthinking it. Your list is too long. Pare it back. I have always been a massive proponent of a good brain dump. If you have a whiteboard or a massive sheet of white paper, I want you to write down all the things that I, Jessica, want. And then I want you to write down all the things I, Jessica, need. And then I want you to prioritize those things into lists. And once you prioritize that into lists, no matter how long those lists are, I want you to pick your top five out of every single one of those lists. And out of all of those lists of top fives, I want you to take a look at what you could never live without. Maybe you can't live without your kids at home. Maybe that's like a huge thing for you because you feel like the school system is broken, or that you want a little bit more control over that because you feel like there's values that need to be integrated in your children's life, whatever that may be. And maybe being an entrepreneur is a non-negotiable for you because your spouse has an illness and is staying home and you need to take care of the family. Or maybe, unfortunately, you're spouse has left. I don't know. I don't know your situation in life. So out of all those top fives, what are the non-negotiables? They should only be a few. Like by the time you get through that list of like 100 or 50 items, you should maybe be less of 10 at most. That's your list. That's where you start. And you start to build a schedule. How do I accomplish this? By starting my mornings early. Because as the saying goes, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. It's that early to bed, early to rise. That's what's going to make you or break you. You go to bed late, you're not going to get up early. You got to go to bed early. You got to get up early. You got to have that me time. You have to have that morning light to yourself without the echo of another voice. At the end of the day, this is a blueprint. And there's no way to adapt that early to bed, early to rise concept without some type of failure. Right? You just can't fit it all in that early morning time that you have to build out your schedule, your self-care routine, your faith-based items, etc., gratitude practices. They have to happen outside of other people interaction.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't have that interference. There's just no way to live inside of your head without that. Part of it, okay, a lot of people go, 5 a.m., wow, that's crazy. But I know consistently people in my life that wake up at 4. I still can't do 4. I don't know why I cramp up. It's a really hard time for me to try and address to. I'm working towards it though, but 5 a.m. was not easy to get to. I had a lot of issues trying to reach 5 a.m. And part of my thing was going to bed too late, eating after 5. There's a lot of different things in a physiological kind of way that kind of impede your ability to hit that morning hour. And so I had to incrementally start to adjust things. I had to move our dinner time further out. Okay, guys, I know we're eating at 7 o'clock. We're going to hit 6 and then we're going to hit 5. And then, okay, 4:30. That's the sweet spot. We got to have dinner at 4:30 every single evening in order for us to get to bed at 8. And if we're in bed at 8, I know I can get up at 5. Right? But it took time, like a year and a half, right, of really aiming for that goal and finally reaching it. Exercise was a huge part of being able to get to bed and feeling tired enough to sleep and to be able to get up. Again, there's different components that have to get mixed and matched into that. And so that block of time, again, in the morning, that's sacred time. It's so pivotal to what the rest of your day is going to look like, no matter when exercise comes or when meal times are, when you have to take your kids to activities or when you're helping on client calls. Yeah, the bedtime and the morning time are critical.
I've always said, my brain's super active at night. I'm a night person, but I do have a goal right now to shift to have a earlier day because there is something to be said about getting these things in before anything else and starting your day off on the right foot. What I want everyone to be careful of is if you're hearing this routine or you're hearing a schedule and you're thinking, this won't work for me, XYZ. One, is that true? And two, take the pillars and make them your own. In the sense, the pillar is this undisrupted time with no one else's voices to be able to be present with yourself and accomplish your goals. If for some reason that can't happen at 5 a.m. for you, don't get caught up in it's just not going to happen.
Yes.
Find when you can still have that pillar be a part of it. So there has been seasons of my life that that happens at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
And yeah, I am up till midnight. And it is later. And is that my goal? It's not my goal. There's some science behind why the morning is better. And I do think that's important to get there if that's a goal of yours.
Yes.
But don't wait until you can get there.
No.
If that for some reason that's not working for you, you work nights instead of days or whatever it is, that's fine. Figure out when you can put your pillar in there, because that's what you're saying. You're not saying, oh, you must wake up at 5 a.m. for this success. That's not what you're saying. You're saying you must have this time to yourself to be able to do that. Such an important takeaway here is it's not about necessarily the exact framework. It's about finding the pillars that need to happen and finding the time to do that. You talked about exercise. You talked about waking up and being grateful to your creator, getting outside. You talked about your planners. Is there anything else that you do? Maybe it is after hours. It's a fun thing that you do. Do you have a regular routine or schedule to like check in with yourself, to have fun, pour back into you, do things that maybe aren't business or self-development even directly related, but it's just like, hey, I like to do this thing.
Yeah, I actually host a weekly games night with friends at my place. We are pretty obsessed with Rook and Tile Rummy. We do a lot of Scrabble charades, which is a very interesting concept that we've come up with. So we probably have, oh gosh, there's probably about 20 people in the house once a week.
Wow.
And it's either like a Thursday night or a Sunday night, and we pretty much pack the house. We make a lot of food. The place looked like bomb hit it by the time everyone has left. And quite honestly, if I didn't have that as like my fun time, I don't know what I would do. Time with friends, time with community is huge to well-being. I'm not someone who has a lot of friends, so I could probably count my friends on my one hand. I like to keep my circle small, but the quality in friendship is very important. If we're going anywhere in life, we need community in order to enable that, because community is also part of where our self-care comes into play. We need community so we can sometimes share. Our voice needs to be heard. We might need respite. That's very important for parents to have respite. So there's a lot of trade-offs on who gets the kids when, right? Hey, can I drop my daughter off for a play date? I actually really need a timeout right now. No problem. So having quality friendships, very important part of well-being, especially as an entrepreneur, as a parent. And so that fun time is also very important, because that's what allows our children to grow in community with similar value systems. And being able to explore social is really big for their development. So that's something that I'm huge on. We just had a games night this past Sunday. And everyone showed up at about 4:30. And, you know, with our property, we always have a bonfire. Like, part of game site is the biggest fire that you can build possible, roasting as many marshmallows as you can. That's really huge for us. And so, yeah, we're all doing our kumbaya and come inside. The kids break out the Lego puzzles, you name it. We're sitting at the kitchen table and we're just howling. Because it's just, that's also part of my identity. As a person, I'm a social person. I'm the entertainer, life of the party. I love to cook. I love to crack jokes. That my self-expression, the gift of my soul that I have to give to community is hosting and socializing and bringing joy into kind of people's lives, right? So that's my identity as an individual. So I'm a lot of warm colors. The other thing is self-care Fridays. So I keep the Sabbath. So from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown is our rest day, our holy day. We completely unplug from life on that day. No shopping, no tech, no buying, no selling, etc. We don't go to work. Fridays is actually in preparation for that rest. And so self-care Fridays, I go and I get my hair washed and blow dried, and usually my nails every Friday. Now, I have a very affordable option, because one of my very good friends is a hairdresser and runs a salon, where the nail lady is a very good friend of mine as well. So you know, I can go in and get my hair blow dried and done up and my nails done for under $100.
Yeah.
Very affordable. So again, similar to our conversation about mornings, I'm not expecting everyone to go out and book a self-care Friday right now because it might not be part of the budget, but maybe part of your self-care day every single week is maybe you just have a special day where you paint your nail or decide to wash your hair and blow it out and put on a really pretty dress. I think that's really important for moms to be able to have that, to glam up and just be like, oh,
get dressed.
And again, part of that community component there is having a community day. Maybe for some moms, it's not possible to do it once a week like we do, but start with once a month. Connect with your group of friends. Don't self-isolate. It's really important for mental health. You need to plug in. You have to. Feeling out ourselves can be very hard sometimes. Maybe it just starts out with you and a friend going for coffee. Maybe that's part of your social time, right? But make it a priority. Ask your community, hey, I need somebody to wash the kids. I'm going out. I need to go for coffee. I need to go for dinner. Ask your spouse, your partner. Those are things that have really grounded me. And again, are part of my joy routine. You know, having that is it's like non-negotiable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And finding that community, just trial and error, right? That's a lot of, I think it's so important because I hear women all the time. They're like, well, must be nice. I don't have those people. Mm-hmm. You moved to an island. When you moved there, you didn't have these people. You didn't know those people. And so it's really important, I think, for us to not play this like self-sabotage game of I don't have that. I don't have these things. It's like, well, you have to create it because it is important.
That's right.
You can't self-isolate. You need to go do these things. Mm-hmm. You have so many goodies, but we aren't going to be able to cover everything today. So we're going to have you come back. But I do want to talk a little bit about life marketing, because having a marketing background myself, I think often people think of marketing in so many different buckets, but it's usually one that they think about it in. Mm-hmm. And marketing itself is like so broad. Overall, you help people craft their brand story and how they're going to come out of this voice of typically a business. But we as individuals, we talked about this with identity outside of motherhood, outside of daughter, friend, all these titles that we carry. Mm-hmm. It's so important to know your own voice and your own message. Mm-hmm. And something you were talking about earlier is how you don't parent all four kids the same. We don't just put our kids into a box and say, well, this is exactly how you're sibling operated. This is exactly what we're going to do. You have two kids that went back to public school. You navigate conversations and boundaries differently. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the same thing for messaging, right? One message, one marketing strategy doesn't work the same for every business or every personal brand. Mm-hmm. So I want you to talk a little bit about how do you take those very first steps in crafting your voice, whether it's from a personal brand or a business brand, to identify like who you want to stand as in the world, whether it's your business or yourself. Mm-hmm. What are the first kind of discovery items that you would do with a client? I know you do these intensives, and the first one you start off with is that brand voice. Mm-hmm. What is kind of like the overarching framework that you would walk someone through to help them navigate that?
Yeah. Part of the brand voice experience, the first question I generally ask on our discovery call intensives are, what do you want?
Mm.
That question probably takes about half an hour to answer, believe it or not. They're mimicking something else that they've seen out in the marketplace that projects into their brand in some way. Well, Susie B here is doing XYZ, so I guess I should do that too. Or, hey, look at Gordon over here. He's also in financial planning. And look at his website and his social. Can we do that as well? No, we cannot. Because the thing is, at the end of the day, you are the captain of your own ship. And you are a completely different person than Gordon and Susie. How they speak to their target client is based on their unique personality, their character, their value system. How they approach people is something that you are not going to be able to emulate when you have to come to the fore. People are going to think you're an imposter because what Gordon knows and what Susie knows is not comparable to the experience that you bring to the table. So what do you want? So there's a lot of prying into somebody's personal life that takes place. I think my clients do probably a lot of prying within that hour-long discovery call because they finally realize that what they've always wanted is something so specific and unique to their heart's longing.
Yeah.
And that is what makes a damn good business. It's not about just what you offer that client because your competitor is doing it. It's what you want to offer the client because it sets the tone on how you want to live your life. If you want to be waking up at 4 a.m. like Gordon does, who doesn't have kids and maybe dogs and all kinds of other responsibilities, be my guest, but you're not going to be able to keep pace with Gordon. Yeah. You have to be able to create a business that adapts and mimics your life. That is the whole point of entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is not there for you to become another employee. It's not there for you to cohabitate in some kind of imposter syndrome because you want to make the 6 or 7 figures that you see advertised because you think money is going to buy the happiness that you're looking for. You are going to find joy in being who you are. And the music that you end up composing as part of that is going to bring joy to other people's lives, right? Because it's your unique tune. And so every single person on this planet has a gift. It could be actually more than one gift. Many people have multiple gifts that they're not even aware of. And so what do you want? I'm asking them about how their business is going, how their relationships are going in life. What are their finances looking like? How many of those business relationships have failed or have succeeded and why? Who do they actually want to work with? Who is your ideal client? If I were to walk into your office or studio tomorrow or buy your product, who would you want me to be? Like, who do you like being around? And so we end up crafting this massive 20-page document that goes through who they are as a business person, who their brand is when it coexists. So they're in reality. What does the brand sound like? What kind of words do we want to describe the brand with? What kind of values do we want to associate with that brand? Who that ideal client is as part of that brand? How we're going to show up online now that we've dived into all these key characteristics. By the time we crafted this document, they're so blown at the fact that we finally identified who they are. They finally can sit back and go, wow, I haven't been myself all these years. I've built this business. Maybe it is or isn't successful, but I really didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I wanted, and now I do. And I'm not willing to now veer off this blueprint that you've designed for me because actually what's going to bring me joy is going to make me money. It's going to attract the kind of client that I get along with that I don't have to fight for to pay my invoice or to push through a project or whatnot. This client might actually be the kind of client that consistently buys from me and isn't always asking for a refund. Again, knowing your ideal client will result in more sales and sales that are consistent. Yeah, I just don't think there's any other value than starting with a brand voice.
You have so much clarity and it makes being a business owner and showing up, because I know your other intensives focus on PR and social media. Mm-hmm. It makes that follow-up so much easier because you now know what you're speaking. And I think when we start business, we think we know exactly what our voice is. We're like, no, I'm clear. I know what I want to do, but you're not. You're really not. You think you know what you're talking about, but no one else understands you. You're speaking gibberish to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So it's very important to get that messaging really clear. And I really think this is important for individuals too. You know, you may not invest the same way as an individual if you don't have a business behind it, but you kind of should. You should know your personal voice. What is the message you're putting out into the world? Because whether you're sharing your kids going back to school or what you had for dinner the other night, or you're chatting with your friend at the mom park, or you're posting about your business, you are sharing your life with the world and you are putting a message out there. And knowing what your message is, like you said, everyone has a gift or gifts and you're sharing it whether you know it or not. So it's really important to get clear on that. I think it's so important. Now, if you could give a business owner, we'll go to business owners specifically for a moment. Business owners specifically, if you could have them do one task on a regular basis that they're actually implementing, what is it that you wish more of your clients were actually consistent with and actually doing? Because you can give them this 20-page document you just talked about and you're like, here you go, great. And I know you help them actually execute, but let's pretend that's where they stopped with you, that they stopped with that 20-page document. What do you hope that they're consistently doing?
Sharing their knowledge and expertise. And then the number one place that they can do that right now is in stories or on TikTok. Those are probably the two areas. Probably one of the easiest things that you can ever do. Just have your phone with you as you're doing life. And if something comes to mind that you feel like you really need to get off your chest, set up your camera, hold it in your hand. You could be cooking. I don't care what you're doing. As a matter of fact, B-roll is probably one of the most powerful ways to share information because it shows you in the authenticity of the space that you actually are living in, right? Because a lot of people like to shoot in very choreographed, aesthetically pleasing environments. But for me, if grab your phone, something's come to mind, record that video. Share your knowledge and expertise. Let people know that you truly are the expert that you say you are. And let them see you in a natural environment. Let them see you feeding your chickens or going for your morning walk or driving your kids to school or whatever it is. There's a lot of clients that actually go out after a brand voice experience and they go and buy two things. One, they go buy a tripod and then they go buy some kind of car suction device for their dash. Those are the two things, probably most important tools that you can have right now. And those tools will probably continue to be developed in ways that allow them to maybe be a little bit more automated. I just foresee a tripod and car pods for some reason really taking off, but those are probably the best tools you can have right now. And the other thing is a mini mic of some kind so that people can pick up on you audibly. They're inexpensive. You know, go on Amazon, you can find them for $30. But just something that you clip onto you or, you know, as you're cooking, you're holding it in your hand. Again, do it. Just show up, be yourself, share your knowledge, share your expertise. If you're a man, don't worry about your hair. Be as messy and as natural, as authentic as you can, because most of us are not made up. Most of us are not going to be wearing a dress or a suit or things like that in our day to day. It's just, you can't do the dishes or do normal things in those kinds of outfits. Just be yourself and show up.
Love that. Okay. Before my final question, where can everyone tap into you, follow you, and stay in your world? Because we didn't cover some very specific things today because we just don't have time that people should get into your world. More marketing, how you navigate life on your property with your four kids. You can find it all, but where should they connect with you?
So Instagram is the primary channel that I'm on the most. And so there's my personal channel, which is Keeping Up With Hugh. It's like a double entendre in the sense that it's funny, but it's my last name. Keeping Up With Hugh is actually H-U-G-H, but is meant to sound like you. So that's my personal Instagram. And heystorywell.ca is my professional Instagram. That's where I'm posting. That's where I'm showing up. There's been a lot of things going on in my life lately that haven't allowed me to be as consistent. Client loads have been growing, and so I haven't been able to dial in the way that I need to, but there's a hell of a lot of content there. There's a lot of stuff I post on my personal channel. So if you want to get to know me and figure out, hey, am I a fit for you? Or if the information that I'm sharing is of value, then I just, yeah, that would touch my heart. Just leave me a comment or a smiley face. And yeah, I would be so happy to interact and engage with anyone that wants to come on there and just chill with me.
Yeah. And if this episode resonated with you, go send Jessica a message and tell her one of your takeaways. I know that I always love getting those messages. So it's always good to know what's sitting with you. Now, final question for you today, Jessica, what's something that's lighting you up, exciting you, a goal that you're working towards that you're like, yep, this is what I'm focused on for right now?
Yeah. So outside of motherhood and business, one of the dreams that we are developing here on our 8.5 acres is a lifestyle retreat. So we actually have ordered some domes and a hydrotherapy circuit. Cool. So sauna, hot tub, all that kind of good stuff. And we're going to be building in the back of our property, like a mini lifestyle Nordic spa retreat area. My goal outside of professional and personal attainments right now is I want to bring healing to the chaos of people's lives. I want to draw people out of the city, out of the busyness. And I just want them to come and stay for a weekend and experience what it is to get out into nature, to set their phones aside and to just take a break.
So cool. I cannot wait to see it unfold. I hope you post all about it so we can follow along and share. Thank you so much for being here, Jessica.
Sometimes the smallest act of love is all a mom needs to feel reinvigorated. If you can relate to that, I'd feel so supported by your 5-star rating and written review. Take a moment and let me know what you thought about this episode.